Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Áine Kerr here, sitting in for Brendan. Now, here to tell us what's coming up on our big and small screens in the week ahead are David O'Callaghan of the Here and Back Again podcast and music journalist Zara Hederman. To you first, Dave, to lead us out on cinemas. We have Dumb Money coming to cinemas on Friday next. You, I think, are a fan of this, and I think fans of The Big Short are going to love this.
Yeah, this is absolutely fantastic. This is chronicles the, if anybody remembers, the 2021 GameStop short squeeze. Now, as if I know what a short squeeze is, but if you've watched The Big Short, everybody knows what it is. But it's basically a ragtag group of amateur traders decide to take on Wall Street and save GameStop from the Wall Street hedge funds. But it's got an amazing like cast with like Paul Dano and America Ferreira and Pete Davidson and stuff. But it's based on The Anti-Social Network by Ben Mezrich. And it's just... Whereas the Big Short was quite analytical, and the characters, because of who they were quite cold.
Yeah, it was fast-paced. There was no real development
and
of the characters.
They weren't really heroes. They're all kind of villains, ultimately, because they all work in Wall Street. Whereas this is about the people taking on the man. And it's just fantastic. There's a brilliant soundtrack to it, and it really goes into the stories and brings a bit of humanity to this tale that I just loved it.
And this only dates back to like 2021, so it's very fresh in people's minds.
The book was written so quickly, and then this, and like the best way I can pitch this is, if you like The Big Short, this is The Big Short 2, Revenge of the Nerds, because it's game on, and yeah, I loved it.
Lovely. Zara, also in the cinema, just released, is A Haunting in Venice, another Kenneth Branagh Piro film. Is this better than some of the ones that preceded?
Well, I think fortunately, after seeing A Haunting in Venice, I haven't seen the previous ones because this one was pretty laborious to get through, and it's only about an hour and 40 minutes. And it felt
longer.
So much longer. So it takes place in Venice. It's 1947. Poirot has retired. He's enjoying the slower pace of life, having pastries delivered to his house every day. And then a crime writer, Adrian Oliver, played by Tina Fey, comes to his doorstep with a case of a young woman who's been pulled from the canals of Venice. Her mother is organising a séance, so she's gotten a medium, played by Michelle Yeoh, to come to the house and hopefully get some answers. Now, the interesting aspect of this story, I guess, is the supernatural element to it. We're seeing Poirot kind of communicate or kind of confront these kind of ulterior motives of solving crimes. But it just doesn't really do a whole lot. It's very stagnant, I felt, and I really felt like I was very much trapped in the mansion too. I was looking for an escape out, and in the cinema, I think there was about four walkouts, which was not...
Wow.
Yeah.
How far in did they give us even the hour?
First one was 20 minutes or so long, which was, I found, really shocking, because the cinema was full. Like, it was a rainy Friday afternoon, and within 20 minutes the first person was out. Now, it is a serviceable rainy day afternoon film. Will I watch it again? No. If Kenneth Branagh does a fourth one, will I watch it? Probably not in the cinema. I might wait to watch it at home,
on the couch. And you've seen it as well, Dave. I don't know if you've seen the ones that preceded, but we have our own Jamie Dornan in this.
Ham and cheese, Dornan. Would you go? He's absolutely brutal. If he doesn't get nominated for a Razzie for this, he's not
his finest.
He's shocking. And Tina Fey literally has walked across the set from Only Murders in the Building into this movie, and but the funny thing is, I think it's actually the best of the Poirot movies. But let's hold that nugget there and say that tells you how good the other two are. But
okay, the baseline is low here.
The baseline is extremely low. It's fine. It's what's really interesting is the star wattage has collapsed. Like, in the first two, there was loads of kind of stars, but that's all. Like, Knives Out is now the whodunit, you know, crown holder, and this is just kind of Murder, She Wrote for older people. But it's fine. It's better than the other two, but as Zara said, it's not exactly setting the world on fire.
Okay, moving us on to streaming. I am a huge fan of Welcome to Wrexham and the first season on Disney Plus. It started again this week. I think we've had two episodes so far. It's educational, it's informative, entertaining, and really kind of gets to the heart of football in our communities. They've a hard act to follow, don't they, with this season two, but I think a good story to tell. Zara?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually came to season one slightly late after it initially aired, and I binged it so quickly just because even the bromance between Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds.
And it
so
seems genuine, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. No, it seems really genuine. The two of them bounce off each other really well. And I also just love how, beyond investing a lot of money into the team and into this club, they actually get very personally invested into it as well.
Yeah, they take the responsibility seriously here because they know what it means to people's livelihoods.
Absolutely. And, you know, in that series as well, in season one, you hear some really heartbreaking stories from the players who have had really horrible personal tragedies in their life. And that just makes you kind of root for them more. Now, season two, they did have a hard act to follow, but they do have a very special guest of King Charles coming to visit the grounds, which is quite funny because they have the etiquette classes, which is hilarious.
Do you think it's in any way spoiled at all, Dave, given that we know how last season played out, or can we still buy into the suspense of it?
I think it's all about, like, when you think of shows like All or Nothing, most of them you know what's happened, but it's the humanity behind the scenes. So you're getting to see a football club, how it's run. You're getting to see the guy in the bar that also runs the food truck. It's all that. It's kind of Ted Lasso for real. And the two lads are brilliant. I think it is. They zing off each other like there's no tomorrow. And I think it's brilliant. And like last season, the episode on hooliganism, they went for it. So they're not hiding from stuff. It's real. And the beauty of it, I think, is you don't have to like football, because it's about football, but it's not really, because it's just about, you know, ambition and trying to, you know, reach the top table.
Great. On Netflix, Zara, you've been taking a look at Class Act. There's 7 episodes available to stream now. It's about a French businessman, politician, actor. What's your verdict?
I really enjoyed this. I went into this not really knowing a whole lot about it. So it's a fictionalised biopic about Bernard Tapie, who is a notorious businessman, kind of starting from the 1960s through to the 90s. And I found this really interesting because each episode is like about an hour long. It's all in French, so it does demand your attention. It's not something you can watch and scroll on your phone, because you do have to read the subtitles. And at that as well, his mind worked at such breakneck speed trying to come up with new business plans. So he, in the kind of 70s, came up with this thing of saving bankrupting businesses in France for buying them for like 1 franc and then turning them around. And it's just a really fascinating concept to see how determined he was, how ambitious he was. And I'm really interested to see, I've seen the first 4 episodes and I couldn't stop watching. In the 80s, things get really fascinating for the real character in sports, who's quite Victorian. In like Tour de France and Champions League. So I'm interested to see how they depict that, because the real character, Bernard Tapie, who actually died in 2021, he was not supportive of this at all.
Okay, the third one on the sports list, Wrestlers. It's been on Netflix since last week. How does that fare, Dave?
I love it. I absolutely, and sports entertainment, as they call it these days. First things first, ignore the word wrestlers, because again, as we spoke about the other ones, it is about wrestling, but a lot of people might be scared. But the important thing here is Greg Whiteley is the guy behind it, and he gave us the basketball series documentary Last Chance U, and then everybody knows the cheerleading documentary Cheer. So it's him, but it's a small the OVW, which are the Ohio Valley Wrestling Company, who gave us people like John Cena and Dave Bautista. They've fallen on hard times. An ex-wrestler, Al Snow, comes in to save them, and it's basically documenting them kind of trying to survive. Sometimes the pay-per-views and 47 people around the world watch it, like, and it's just heartbreaking, some stuff. But when I say they're characters, they're real life people whose everyday lives depend on them just wrestling, and it's beautiful. If Friday Night Lights was a documentary, this would be it about wrestling. It's small town America, it's about the people. I cannot recommend it enough. Get over the wrestling thing and just bail in. It's beautiful.
Sounds great. Staying with you, Dave, Love at First Sight. It's on Netflix as well. I love a rom-com. Is this it? Is this going to be worth our time?
I'm all in on this. Call me old-fashioned. But now, when you say rom-com, minus the com, there's not very much comedy in this. It's based on Jennifer E. Smith's Statistical Probability of Love at First Sight, and it stars Hayley Lou Richardson and Oliver, and it's basically a meet cute on a transatlantic flight. They meet on a plane going from New York to London. They get off the plane, they switch numbers, but it all goes horribly wrong. Digital falls apart, and then will they find each other? Oh no, will they?
Did you cry, Dave? This is a key criteria now for movies like this.
I was an absolute hot mess by the end of this, and I am not ashamed. Like, you know, as my ma said, it was lovely. It was lovely. It's beautiful. I love the book, and I would highly recommend it. But don't sue me if you think it's rubbish.
Okay, very good. Zara Hockney, 50 years on. It's on Sky Arts tonight and on Now TV.
This is really interesting. Whether you're a big fan of his work or coming to it, just looking to maybe get like an introduction to him. So this is the third of four programmes that Sky Arts have done about Hockney, and this one in particular looks at his different influences of, say, Los Angeles, Picasso, portraits, but the photography element I found really interesting, and in how he experimented with photography for perspectives, and the way he details his work. And it's all done through different archival footage of the South Bank show hosted by Melvin Bragg, and the way Hockney describes his approach and his process is really forthcoming and very comprehensive, which I think is something quite rare with artists. They can be kind of candid, and or the opposite of candid, they can be kind of withholding about what their work means. But actually, when he tells us about the mechanics of why he did stuff, it's really interesting. And I think, especially for beginners on Hockney, it's a really worthwhile watch.
Well, there's a lot that you were impressed by. Poor old Ken O'Brien seems to be the only one suffering your wrath today. Thank you so much for that, Dave O'Callaghan and Zara Hederman. Thank you for that.